I have three verses to read. John chapter 17 and verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The second epistle to Timothy in chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Middle of the verse. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Finally, the first epistle of John in chapter 5 and verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Trust the Lord will bless to us these verses this evening. Now, in a large auditorium like this, it's very difficult for me to have eye contact with everyone, but I do want to ask you this evening, as we come to the end of this particular session, I just want to ask you whether you really have the assurance of salvation. The reason for me raising this issue this evening is this, that some of you may know or know of our brother Sid Mount Stevens. For the last couple of years, he and his wife have been in fellowship with us at York Street in Leicester. And this past November, he suffered a stroke. Now, physically, he is well, he's recovered well, but very sadly, he's lost all his memory of the Word of God. He cannot remember, he cannot recall one verse of Scripture. The outcome of that is that he has doubts concerning his own salvation. And the present assurance that an individual is truly a child of God is of paramount importance to the believer. And to make a mistake about such a matter is too awful to contemplate. And we know full well, living in Northern Ireland, you know full well that eternity would be too late for an individual to learn that although he had tasted the good word of God, he'd never really believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of his soul. Now we realize that many genuine believers have at times often been beset by doubts as to their salvation. Not, of course, that they doubt God's promises, nor indeed do they have doubts concerning Christ's ability to save. But their great concern is to know if they have really trusted Christ, if they have really believed. And such a condition of mind, often observed when one's general condition of health is low, can cause great anxiety of mind. And I tell you that Satan's onslaught today takes exactly the same form as his temptation of Eve in the beginning. In other words, to cast doubts in the mind of man. But I want to say in these few minutes that are available, happily, we can know how to be sure that we have eternal life. And to give the believer confidence in his salvation is the concern of all three persons of the Godhead. And so we find that the Word of God to us settles the matter. Secondly, the work of Christ for us secures eternal life. And the witness of the Holy Spirit within reveals it to us. In the Word of God, we find much to give us assurance concerning salvation. Now, Brother David Cain said, for those of you who read the Word of God, well, I used to assume that everybody who was in assembly fellowship regularly read the Word of God. Very sadly, I've come to the conclusion that that was too much of an assumption. And it may be that you've put on an appearance at the Easter conference. We're pleased that you're here. And if you're not regularly reading the Word of God, I trust that from this point in time you will do so. Because it's only the Word of God that can give us the assurance concerning salvation. And you'll note in that verse in 1 John chapter 5 that John explicitly states that this is why he wrote his first epistle. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. There are many outside whom we encounter, and they hope that they have eternal life. And they think it's mere presumption that we can say with absolute certainty that we have eternal life. And I want you just to notice John's recurring use of the expression, we know. And he tells us how we can know. He says in chapter 2, hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. I'm asking you this evening, have you got that real desire in your heart to obey the Word of God? That is an indicative, that's an indication that you have eternal life. And then secondly, whoso keepeth his word, hereby know we that we are in him. Do you have a respect for the Word of God? Does it really mean something to you? And then thirdly, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Because God himself is righteous, those that are begotten of God do likewise. Are you straight up and down in your dealings with your fellow men? Do you have that desire to do that which is right? These things are demonstrating to us that we have eternal life. And then, we know that we have passed from death unto life. How do we know it? Because we love the brethren. Some of you know that by God's grace I was saved out of the world. I was very close to my dear mother. And not long after I was converted, she said to me, you seem to prefer the company of those down at the gospel hall rather than our company. Well, it was very difficult to explain to her, but you will understand. You see, there was that spiritual gravitation toward those who were of like mind and kindred spirit. We had a love for the brethren, small b. And then, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. In other words, if we are born again, we know God's true servants. We're able to distinguish between truth and error. And we desire to hear the true servants of God teaching the Word of God. I say this evening, let us rejoice in the assurance that God gives to us from His Word. We can know, even now, that we have eternal life. What about the work of Christ? I read from John chapter 17, the words of the Lord Jesus, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." And the one who is knowing more of God is assured that he possesses eternal life. Can I just challenge you this evening? Are you growing in the knowledge of God? Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If there is an increasing knowledge of God and of His Son, that is evidence that we have eternal life. And the true believer in the Lord Jesus has peace with God, having no fear of punishment. We go back to the Word of God. Romans chapter 5, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And the believer has access to God in prayer, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And the genuine believer in the Lord Jesus will rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And the believer in the Lord Jesus is conscious of the unfailing love of God. I'm still in the Roman epistle. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You see, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which has been given to us. Our salvation depends not upon what we are, nor on what we do, but it depends upon Christ. And He gives His sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. We do not depend upon our own ability to believe, nor upon our capacity to hold on, but on His strength to keep us. I know these are very simple truths, but we can sometimes miss the wood for the trees. And it's all important that we have that assurance of our salvation. And He's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. Not only the Word of God, not only the work of Christ, but the witness of the Holy Spirit. When all is said and done, the presence of the indwelling Spirit is the guarantee of new birth. But how can I know that the Holy Spirit dwells within me? I suppose the simple answer to that question is by appreciating His activity. You see, if I have precious thoughts concerning the Lord Jesus, that can only be brought about by the Holy Spirit. He makes me think well of Christ, because it is the purpose of the Holy Spirit to glorify His Son, the Son of God. And it's through the Spirit that I have a desire to speak to God and to address Him as Father. "Because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. But he also causes me to love as God loves. And I have to add, even to loving my enemies. Remember again that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and it's by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. And let's be more probing, because the Holy Spirit will produce fruit in our lives, the ninefold cluster of graces that we're so familiar with, which are described in Galatians chapter 5. And if these features are to any extent seen in me, seen in you, then you have the assurance that the Holy Spirit dwells within. Let me take it a stage further. The presence of a conflict in my life really assures me of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And if I have a desire, an urge, to keep separate from the world, then it can only be the Holy Spirit working within me. You see, the flesh will delight in the things of the world, but the Spirit lusts against them. And the unregenerate will have none of these conflicts, because they have no indwelling Spirit. And such evidence of the Holy Spirit and His activity in my life gives me the assurance of eternal life. I ask as I close, is there anyone present in the meeting and you have doubts concerning your salvation? It may be that those of you who've had the privilege of being brought up in a Christian home, you do sometimes have doubts, inasmuch as you've lived a sheltered life. There may not have been a dramatic change outwardly in your life following your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus. But I ask you to put yourself to the test by the Word of God, bearing in mind the work of Christ and also the witness of the Holy Spirit. I believe that lack of assurance really is dishonoring to God. The assurance of faith, assurance of salvation, glorifies God. And God intended that joy and not doubts should accompany salvation. And the true believer in the Lord Jesus can join with the Apostle Paul and say, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Or perhaps it may read, keep that which he has committed unto me against that day. What from Christ the soul can sever, bound by everlasting bands, once in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. None shall pluck thee from the strength of Israel's hands. Just a simple word. Trust it might be a help and encouragement to some here this evening. May the Lord bless his word.